It's nice to see so many here today. I was expecting the church to be practically deserted this morning. I tried to phone for volunteers this week, and whether that encouraged them to go on holiday, I don't know, but nobody seemed to be available. So it's great that you're all here this morning. I'm glad that you've come to spend time with us. As Di has already said, this is the start of our new series on growing, and I hope you appreciate our new artwork. Thanks again to Margaret. Lots of work going into that. We did come in this morning. Thank you. We did come in this morning and realise it said knowing, and that has since been changed because we are on to our new series of growing over these next few weeks. There is a main passage we're going to look at today, which is in 2 Timothy. But really today I want us to take a wider look at the Word of God as a whole. So it might be slightly different. And it's good to have the younger ones with us today because this is a message that is not specifically for the adults, but is for you guys as well and could be really important for you. Valuable. If you go into our kitchen, please don't because it's very messy this morning. But if you go into our kitchen, there's a nice bouquet of flowers on the windowsill, just quite new to the house, I think, last night. Last night we bought them, so you might say, that was very nice of you. And if you turn it round, the label's still on it, and it says 30p. So it's not quite the value that you would think it would be, although the thought was there, if perhaps not a lot more, I do like a bargain. But today we're going to start off by thinking about things that are valuable. And for me, this week has been a great week in terms of preparation because things have been coming at me from left, right, and center. And I'm grateful to God for that, a real sense that this is an important message for the church to hear. But probably more importantly, it was a more important message for me to hear and to have to face up to and to put into practice in my own life. Last week when I finished the service, when I was chairing, some of you may not have been here, but I had a very clear picture in my mind. And in this picture was someone presenting a personal item to an expert to value for them. And the person is informed that this item is of incredible value. And the person is absolutely stunned because this is an item that they've had in their home. They've taken completely for granted. And that was kind of all I had. There was one or two possible ideas. But as I've been preparing this week, I feel that it was moving to take me through this week to see that this is what God wants to say to us. That so often his word is something that is neglected. Like this item, a nice brooch which was found in an old lady's jewellery box. She took it along to be valued, and it was valued at over £10,000. So she was very happy about that. I don't know if you know, but I love to read, and that is evidence. We've just come back a holiday, and 7 days, 7 books in 7 days. That's what I call a holiday, something of a record. And quite useful to have. Who's got one of these? Kindles, yeah. Some people are a bit allergic to Kindles, but I think they're good. And one of the things that I like about Kindles is that sometimes there's little notes and highlights on the page that other people have already read before you. And this is just a little example from a novel I was reading on holiday. And it says, fear distorts the world. I don't read it always just as big as that. But it says, fear distorts the world. Fear sees demons where only shadows dwell. That's quite a good quote. And there's 228 people have already highlighted that little quote in their Kindle. But for me, the Word of God is something that is far more impactful and significant. Nothing else can touch it. One of my passwords, I'll not tell you for which thing on my internet, is what's your favorite book? And it is the Space Bible, because it is the most important book in the world, and I'm convinced of that. But you know, through the centuries, the Word of God has not come to us cheaply. I wonder if any of you watched the BBC program this week called The Most Dangerous Man in Tudor England. Did anyone watch that? Good. you need to watch it. If you get a chance, you can go and catch up. And it's all about William Tyndale. And it's a Melvyn Bragg program, who I don't particularly watch. But I thought, oh, I'll maybe watch that. And I was really quite struck by it, because this is what he had to say. It was, yeah, we've just thought about this and the Word of God. William Tyndale, and this is what Melvyn Bragg had to say. He said, "For Tyndale, the only way to save your soul, which was the only meaning to be on earth, was to listen to the Word of God and to find the Word of God in your own language." And he said, I think William Tyndale's one of the greatest men in English history, a courageous pioneer who wanted to see the Word of God accessible to everyone, from ploughman, that's the man who works in the field, to the monarch, the king. Who was the king? Does anyone know? Tell me, William Tyndale, famous king. Lots of wives.
Henry VIII.
Henry VIII, correct. He said, this was an act of revolution feared by kings and bishops alike, who believed it would cause the status quo to be ripped apart. And in the longer term, they were proved to be right. Last night, I was sitting at an open pit, a fire, and it was lovely being there, but get too close and it's, oh boy, that is roasting. And it just made me think of William Tyndale, who at the end of his life was taken out and tied up and wood put around him. And as he stood there silently, was burned to death. I thought, that is just an amazing testimony and power of the Word of God in his life. Melvyn Bragg says, no one in history has changed our language as he did. No one has had the impact on it which shaped thought and reconsidered belief. And lastly, he says, once the Bible's power spilled into the population, it changed English history, world history, forever. He says, for the population to read it was not just an education, but a revelation. It's almost impossible to imagine the impact that this translation had on the minds of the people who read it in England. Up till then, no one could read the Bible in English. And this is what he says at the end. It's as if the dark cave of their minds had suddenly been illuminated. Amazing. And I had just left the church. We had put up a silhouette. There was one word on it, which at that stage was just the word "word" at the top. And when I went home and I put this program on, the very first image that came on at the start of the program was a black silhouetted tree, just like that, in the middle of a Bible. I thought, that's nice to see that. It's just a little extra from God that we're on the right track as we go along. An old song says, I'd like to teach. What's it say? Don't sing it, but yeah, I'd like to teach the world to sing. Now, I would like to teach the world to walk and read at the same time. Some of you may have seen me doing this. I know I've been known for this. It's a fantastic thing, and I thought this morning, if they can have driverless cars, surely we can teach people to read and walk at the same time without bumping into each other. No one else that I know seems to have mastered this, perhaps because they don't want funny looks or they don't want to fall into a big hole. I don't know, perhaps one or both of these things. But this morning we're going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and from verse 10, if you have a Bible. It says, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And this is the focus for this morning. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the midst of persecutions and trials, Paul does not pray for Timothy to be removed from them, rather to encourage Timothy to keep going in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of the chaos, as we have seen in your thought and update this morning. If you haven't, look at it later and not just now. The word of God was to be foundational for Timothy in his life and in his work. I have to say that I am very thankful for the word of God. It's been pivotal to me. I would not be standing here without the word of God and the role that I have. If God hadn't spoke to me through his word and hit me right between the eyes so clearly to redirect the direction of my life at that point. Hebrews 4 reminds us that the word of God is living and active. I can attest to countless times when the power of God through his word has taken my breath away, has brought transformation in the lives of others and also in my own life. Two words were repeated on an advert I saw this week, and they were these. They said, expectation, reality. And they're helpful for us as we consider the word of God this morning. Do you have a sense of expectation when you come to read the word of God? That the maker of the universe, your maker, the one who knows all about you, wants to speak to you personally through his word. How can we take that for granted? So expectation is important, it's key, but it's not enough. Because, like the Bible says, it can be like looking in a mirror and going away and not doing anything about what you've seen in it. We need an expectancy to hear God that is tied with a desire to obey and to put it into practice. So expectation, we need that. But we need tied to that obedience. Reality. And yet. Through this week, I've been reminded and I stand deeply convicted and ashamed at how often I have neglected the word of God or taken it for granted. I was speaking to a church leader last Saturday evening and he was telling me as he began the conversation, he said, I'm really concerned that Christians are not reading the word of God today. And in previous generations, it was perhaps a given. It was a clear priority and it was given its rightful place. And I understood what he was saying because despite all it means to me, despite how much it has influenced and directed my life, I often fall short when it comes to being in the Word of God. But you know, I feel this is really important, perhaps for you as well today. I believe it has become something of a guilty secret. Something of a guilty secret. Perhaps an overemphasis in our past on the Word of God to the neglect of the Holy Spirit has led to many Christians searching for the supernatural or experiences of God while neglecting his word. Someone said to me this week, I feel really close to God at the moment, but I'm not reading the Bible at all. I thought, right, okay. It doesn't really add up. The Bible tells us it's to be our daily bread. The Bible tells us that we should meditate on it day and night. It should always be in our thinking and in our minds. I'm sure hardly any of you would want to stand up this morning and argue with me or against me, against the centrality of the Word of God. And we've just had Angus and Juden, they know this. But members of this church need to buy into the six core values of the church here. And one of these is the Word of God. So we say it, we may even agree with it and mean it. But what goes wrong? And I thought if it was a game show, It might look something like this. Our survey says, number four, busyness. Life's just so busy now, I just can't get the time. Yeah, but I can get time to do pretty much what I want to do in the week as well. Or perhaps it's distractions, so many shiny things that draw our attention, things immediate that are buzzing or ringing or shouting, whatever it would be, round about. So many distractions in life. Or perhaps, if we're honest, yeah, it's actually a lack of discipline. I don't really make the time that I should. And also, if we're honest, it could well be apathy. It could well be apathy. Do you know, the devil wants to keep us away from his word. He will use all these things to stop us coming to the word of God. We need it. We need it for sustenance. That just means it's to be our food. It's to help us to grow as Christians, to mature as God's people, to be like that tree that's been growing and showing signs of life. At our home group on Sunday, we had a little bit of a chat about it. Nobody got buttonholed to say, are you reading your Bible? Because you kind of go, yeah. Guilty secret, maybe not as much as I should. But we decided in our home group, and I'm not going to ask them either, to commit to read a chapter of Acts every day till we meet again. And we worked out, how many days is that? And it was 28 days. And you've guessed it, Acts has 28 chapters. So we thought, that's quite nice just to break that down and to read a chapter a day. And the idea is that we would do that together, that we would be accountable to each other. And we agreed to email or to text if there was something particular that God had said to us. Now, you might think it was pretty good because Tuesday morning I sent out a text. I was the first to send out a text to confess I had forgotten all about it on Monday morning. And I wasn't even worth giving pathetic reasons for it. But also as a reminder to the others to do better than me and that I was on the case with chapters 1 and 2. And since then, I've managed to be on the ball. But it's been great to do. It's a great book because it's about the establishing of God's church and a reminder to us of how we should be as we live together. So I would encourage you to do the same. If you're toiling or failing to get into the Word of God. And as I was preparing at this point, an email came in and it said, how can we help inspire each other by reading God's Word together? Acts 2 reminds us of the priorities of the first believers. And one of those, the first priority was that they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. Perhaps you're here today and you're in a really good routine. Brilliant. Keep going. But if you're struggling and you want to join the rest of us on a journey through Acts with a chapter day to make yourself accountable, I'm going to ask the stewards to hand out a sheet. It's going to start at the back with a pen. It's going to come round. If you would like to click into that, please put your name. And that will make you accountable to others that see it as it goes round, but also to me. More importantly, to God. Just to take that one chapter each day. Maybe you want to add it to your reading that you do. But it would be a great thing for us to work through together. No pressure. Whatever age you are, feel free to sign up. If you're doing enough already, that's absolutely fine as well. Most importantly, let's be growing in the Word of God together. The Word of God is being spread faithfully in a greater way than ever in history. Many of you will know of the Gideons. Any of the boys and girls heard of the Gideons or what they do? They've perhaps been in your school. Any of the secondary kids, what have the Gideons done in your school? Anyone? Don't be shy. Have you seen the Gideons in school? What do they do? Not ask any names, Connor. Good. They give out Bibles. And my brother's heavily involved with that. And he was saying that they have given out 2 billion Bibles. 2 billion. At the moment, that looks like 71 million Bibles a year that they're giving out. Fantastic to see that happening. Think back to Tyndale's time when there was zero, and now it's pouring out in its millions. My brother told me that in Glasgow this week, they were in the universities giving out Bibles to all the students, and a man came over who was from Saudi Arabia, and he saw what they were doing. He said, "My friend became a Christian in Saudi Arabia through reading this Bible. Could I have one?" That was just this very week. And I've not forgotten the MAF video. I don't know if any of you saw it, but the plane flew in. Quite often it brings relief. But in one of these remote tribes, they brought in the Word of God, and the celebrations and the tears of joy of the people to finally have a Bible in their own language was amazing to see. They knew that this was something of incredible value. Way back in Tyndale's time, they were all made on a printing press. It was a long process. And it was quite an impressive book. It was probably about that width and size, although very thick. But to try and so people could hide it in their cloaks. And they smuggled them into the country. At some points, they were able to get 3,000 Bibles in at a time. And people snapped them up left, right, and center. Because for them, they're going, wow, we can actually read this for ourselves. Because up till then, they just had to listen to what the priests told them in the Catholic Church. But do you know, it cost the equivalent of 2 weeks' wages for someone who worked in the field. So minimum wage today, you're talking about over £500, equivalent to buy one of those. And they were snapped up. And people knew that by having that and being caught with it, they would be put to death. That's how valuable it was. Not just in monetary terms, but for people in their lives. A young woman from a Muslim country, I can't give you any details, specific details about her. I will tell you that it did happen in Scotland and not that long ago. But she was in a Muslim country. She was studying English in university. And one of the lecturers, for some reason, gave her to read Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and the Sermon on the Mount in the King James Bible. And she went home and she read these. She was really intrigued by it and encouraged her to go and to download the Word of God, the whole Bible, for herself. And on her own, as she read that, she came to faith. And within a short time, she knew that she was going to face serious persecution, and she fled the country and she came to Britain to seek asylum. Very popular in the news at the moment. When she went to the tribunal, the judge refused to believe that a Muslim university would give out a passage from the King James for the students to read. And also he refused to believe that a person's life could be changed by reading a King James Bible. So it was thrown out, and she went back and appealed. And she was in the waiting room. And in the waiting room, she was quite bored. And she looked around and she found magazines, as you do. And she picked this magazine up, and on the front page, this is what it said, the King James Bible, making a masterpiece. And she looked again to see where it was opened. And you might see it's opened at Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And when she opened it up and looked inside, it was stories about people from all over the world whose lives have been changed by reading the King James Bible. And she ran to her lawyer, and 10 minutes before, and he took it to the judge, and the judge read it and was amazed and made his decision that she could stay in this country. What an amazing story of God at work through his word and in his power. So it's good to hear how God's word is impacting on people's lives today. And it's happening in our church too. And I've asked 3 people to come and just to share briefly. Thank you, those that are doing that. To share briefly something from the Word of God that has impacted them and been significant in their lives. They're all fairly small people. We're going to start, though, with Nathan. Thank you, Nathan. I was very appreciative of Nathan being willing to do this. And Nathan's going to share with us. Thank you, Nathan. There you go.
So the verse that I have chosen is from Philippians 4, verse 13. And it is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think quite a lot of people who went to Maranatha camp, they really enjoyed this verse, as it is really encouraging. And in situations like school and other things, it can tell you that whatever problems, fears, or temptations, that nothing is too big as long as Christ is with you.
Fantastic. Thank you. Well done. That was brilliant. Excellent, Nathan. Thank you. An encouragement to all you young people. Just a little bit older, we have Gillian, who's going to come and share as well. Perhaps this minute may be a little bit more of a struggle, but she says she's going to be really good. Thank you, Gillian.
The verse that I've chosen is Joshua 1:8, and it's, study this book of instruction continually, meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. I think this verse sums up quite a few of the verses that have been life-changing for me and my family over the last year. It encourages me to remember that God's with me in all the storms that we go through. It helps me not to sin against God. The one thing that I've learned when there are storms in my life is that sometimes I'm busy trying to fix the things that are not right, and I'm neglecting God's word, where that's actually the one thing that I need the most to get through the storms. I think another thing that I've learned is, if I read this, then I'm equipped to deal with the things that I have to face in life, rather than wait until there is a crisis and then scramble to find out how I'm supposed to deal with the things in front of me without, in a way that can glorify God and the kind of conflicts that we come across in life.
Thank you very much.
Is that a minute?
Leslie was going to come and share, and I'm sure you know he would have been more than excited to do that, and it would definitely not have been a minute. But sadly, Leslie's not well, so please pray for him. He has another chest infection. So please remember him in your prayers. But representing that slightly older age group, we have Eric. Thanks very much, Eric.
I just look old. I'm a recycled teenager. There's several verses I could have picked, but Colin, having used an illustration, Gideon's International there, has brought a verse to my mind. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Margaret and I are privileged to be part of Gideon's International. We're in West Lothian branch, and believe it or not, we've now taken in the postcodes 28, 29, and 30, which includes this area. So you may get a visit to the church from the Gideons sometime soon, if the pastors all allow it. And we'll also get into the school here. But what happened to me, and that's why I think the word of the Lord is important, I had a car accident just a year ago. Some folk, Fleming and me, have heard this story. But it was a neighbour, the car a month old, a neighbour turned round and reversed out right into it. And I was really quite annoyed, but I had to turn to God's word and get peace. But the girl that came with the car from Enterprise to give me the one for courtesy car, she was a Muslim. And she said, first of all, "Hello, Mr. Shalom." I said, "My name's not Mr. Shalom, that's the house name." So we sat in the car and she said to me, "Oh, Shalom's Jewish." I said, "Yes, but I'm not Jewish, I'm Christian." Oh, she says, "I'm a Muslim." And she said, "You know, are you a practicing Christian?" Then she went on to ask me, were my folks Christians? I said, but that didn't make me a Christian because my folks were Christian. I said, I've got to take that decision myself. She said, are you religious? I said, no, I'm relational. I've got a relationship with the Lord Jesus. And this went on the whole way from our house into Edinburgh. She asked question upon question. She said, what's the difference between baptism and christening? What an opportunity. Well, I didn't have a Gideon Testament on me, and I was furious with myself. So when I had to collect, take the car back at the end, I managed to give 6 testaments, 2 to Muslims and 4 to other members of that staff, all because somebody came. And that's what I believe, the word of the Lord is important to be given to as many people as possible. Margaret and I were at the college in West Lothian the other week. Now, we don't normally get in there. It took 8 years until last year was the first for 8 years. This year, in 50 minutes, 200 testaments were handed out to people going for the lunch.
Thank you very much.
That's it.
I forgot to tell him there was a hole under the stage here if it was needed. So that helps us to see that the Bible speaks across the age ranges, from young people through to recycled teenagers at the other end as well. In a sense, it's only words, but of course it's so much more. The source from which it comes from, the authority by which it comes, the power it has to alter circumstances and situations, to make God known. At the end of that documentary about Tyndale, Melvin Bragg says, it was not the turn of phrase that mattered, because he'd been talking about how all these phrases are still used in our English language. He says, it was not the turn of phrase that mattered. It was the purposes of those phrases to bring alive the word of God to every man and woman in England, and through that, save their souls. And I was drawn back to the book of Nehemiah. And these three words, as I was chatting with Clive this week, I found to be quite helpful. The first word says informative. And as the people came together, the whole people of Israel, they stood and they listened to the word of God, and it spoke to them. It gave them the information that they needed as God's people. And then it was transformative, because they broke down and cried. They were repentant for the neglect of God's word and the neglect in following God's ways. And then that final stage, it was performative. It changed the way that they lived. The action that they took after that was to say, we're going to follow in God's ways. It was going to change their daily lives. Earlier on, we read from 2 Timothy. And when Paul writes to Timothy, he highlights the origin and the purpose of Scripture. He says, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Because essentially, the Word of God is a handbook of salvation. That just means it tells us how we can be saved, how we can come to know God. It's God's plan through history to save mankind. And it's something that only God himself was able to reveal. And he reveals it to us through his word. But the Bible is also about Jesus, the one who brings us that salvation. All through the Old Testament, we see a pointing ahead to the coming of Jesus. And in the New Testament, his birth, his life, his works, and his words, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, the sending of the Holy Spirit, the establishing of the church, his coming again at the end. It's all about Jesus. Verse 16 says, all Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. God who breathed to create the universe. God who breathed life into man, to give him life. God, through Jesus, who breathed on the disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. Perhaps I had a little bit of wrong thinking about this in terms of how God influenced and used people to bring the word of God to us. It's much deeper than that. It was not that the writers had God breathe into them, rather that scripture, all scripture, was breathed or breathed out by God himself. It comes completely from him. It originated in the mind of God and was communicated from God's mouth by the Holy Spirit. And so we also read it as useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This is also vital. It's vital for knowing the truth and also to combat error that will come. It also shows us the conduct of how we're to live, how God expects us to live on a day-by-day basis. John Stott, who was one of the great Christians of this century, said, "Scripture is the chief means that God uses to bring a person to maturity." Think of that tree. "Let the word of God make you a man or woman of God," he says. "Remain loyal to it, and it will lead you to maturity." So I say at the end, let me commend again to you God's word. It's above value. It's a wonderful gift that comes breathed out from God himself. It's personal. It's for you. He wants to meet you in his word. So be expectant. Be obedient and be changed by it. In the midst of all that we've heard and thought about this morning, we're just going to leave this here to finish, because these are the most important words for us to take away today. To remember to grow in the word of God. It's inspired. It will inspire you if you will only spend time in it. It is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, each one of us who follows him, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for the transformations that it's having every day around this world. And in the lives of people in this place as well. Father God, I pray in this coming week that you would meet with us and speak with us again in a fresh and special way through your word. Help us to be expectant. Help us to be obedient. May it transform the way that we live and think and act this week. In Jesus' name, amen.